Hi, I'm Lamar Nagel, former midfielder for the Seattle Sounders.
What a strike from Lamar Nagel!
And it's a magnificent finish by Lamar Nagel.
Lamar Nagel makes it look easy!
And it's a hat-trick from the boy from Federal Way, Lamar Nagel.
The club and I share two common passions, soccer and community. So I'm taking over the podcast a few times this season to highlight people and organizations in the community that are doing positive things. It stems from the idea that many people want to get involved, but maybe don't know the most impactful ways to do it. This segment of the podcast will showcase nonprofits or movements and give people a blueprint on how to get involved or simply support organizations that align with their beliefs. This is Side by Side Community Spotlight. I'm really excited about the first edition. We have two great guests, Samuel Perlin from America Scores Seattle, and first, Executive Director from EarthGen, Meredith Lohr. Thanks for joining us. I really want to see kind of just the insight that you had even going into founding an organization like EarthGen. I obviously looked up a little bit of your history, and it seems like each career kind of led up to this moment of creating this, and it's kind of seemed comprehensive of your entire career.
Oh, yes, thanks. It's true. I believe that EarthGen is doing essential work in the community, partnering with young people and schools, because learning about our interdependence with the environment should just be a part of every person's education. We all depend on clean air and clean water and a healthy environment in order to be happy, healthy people and live with our families and community. And so if we don't take care of the environment, if we don't learn about our interdependence with the environment and learn how to take care of it, then we're really threatening our own well-being. It's just got to be a part of what's happening in schools and in the community. And so EarthGen is really about making sure that every young person throughout their education learns about what it takes to protect the environment, to make sure that everybody has clean air, clean water, green spaces to play in, access to healthy food, and that our decisions have an impact. And so we can choose to be part of the problem or we can choose to be part of the solution. And so with EarthGen, our programs give kids the chance to learn what it is that makes the environment healthy and what threatens the health of it, and then what they can do to make a difference, either with their friends or with their families or with whole communities, like the whole school working together, like what we're doing today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're spot on. Like, it should be a basic education, right? Because if you don't know about it, then you run the potential of being part of the problem. How does EarthGen kind of accomplish that?
So we partner with schools across Washington, so K through 12 public schools, mostly some private schools, to make sure that all the students can have access to learning that's hands-on, that's exciting, that's interesting, it's connected to academic requirements, and it gives them the knowledge and the skills and the experience to be leaders for a healthy environment. So we work with school districts like the one we're in today, Highline Public Schools. We support their teachers with resources, with lesson plans, with partnerships in the community, and with training. And that allows them to bring these experiences into the classrooms to work with the students directly. And we're there kind of as facilitators, supporters, experts when they need us. But it's really about getting the schools ready to take this on themselves. And so that's what we're doing here at Seahurst Elementary. Is we've been working with the teachers, we've been working with the students, and what we see is that they're ready to take it to the next step. And that's really our model, is about making sure that the school system can do this. That, yeah. It's not extra. It's not like you go to camp and you have a good time in the forest. That's really important too. And then you come back, though, and it's often over for people. And so this is about the environment is all around me. It's in my neighborhood. My family is connected to it. Decisions I make every day make a difference. And so we want that to be part of what they learn in school.
Yeah, I love that comprehensive approach to everything. Like, you're not just teaching the kids that this is a good thing, but it's also you're providing certifications for teachers, correct? You're working with the schools and even the school district. So it's really from top to bottom, you guys are involved. That's great. How did you guys get involved with the Sounders and Rave?
Well, I was just talking to my friend Taylor Graham about the first day of service when we met, which was actually right down the road at Chief Self High School back in 2012. And then the Sounders are part of the Green Sports Alliance. Sounders have always been very, as long as I've known the organization, very interested in taking care of the environment. And over the years, I've just seen that commitment grow. So a big milestone was becoming the first carbon neutral soccer team in the MLS.
Yeah.
And that was something that I think a lot of folks that I knew in the club were very proud of and worked very hard to get there. And I think it was just an incredible statement for the organization to make. So over the years, I've been involved with the Sounders Green Team, and this is our 12th project together. Such a great,
yeah,
great group of people to work with.
Yeah. So it seems like, I mean, every step of the way you've been involved, like whenever the Sounders have been doing something, like you guys have a hand. Is that correct?
I've tried to be.
Tried to be.
I mean, it's been fun. And I mean, this may not make it to the podcast, but I would just give a big shout out to Taylor because I think he's.
I know. I was talking with him before and he said, I mean, you guys have great memory. He was like 2012, met our Chief Self. We were doing a thing. You said he was the only Sounder there and he had a great conversation with you and have stayed in touch ever since.
Yes. And it's grown from there. And then when Rave came on board, you know, that was an opportunity to really work synergistically with the mini pitch, for example, here, and the work that Ashley and Rave Foundation is doing in the community really blends with what we do. So green spaces, the right to play, the mission of Rave, we can really support that through our work on school campuses. So I would say over the years, what I've seen with Sounders organization is it's just gotten deeper and stronger,
yeah,
the commitment.
So you mentioned that you work with school districts. How many school districts in the area are you involved in?
Yeah, a bunch in the Puget Sound region and then across Washington as well. So and one of our big areas of growth is to make sure that all kids, especially those who don't have a lot of extra educational opportunities or those who live in environments that are heavily impacted by like air pollution or lack of access to green space. So we've been really intentional about working east of the mountains, like in the Yakima Valley and in Spokane. And so it's really making sure that every student has access. And we have some strong partnerships with migrant education programs. So there are 35,000 migrant students in Washington. Many of them love soccer.
Yeah.
And so actually partnering with the Sounders has been really helpful in reaching those audiences as well.
Yeah. Speaking of that connection and reaching the audiences, what's going on here at Seahurst?
Yeah, so today at Seahurst, we're having a great day, I would say. It's a beautiful day outside, which is lucky for us. But we're putting in a pretty big rain garden that's right adjacent to the mini pitch that is going in. It's in the process of being installed. And that rain garden will manage the runoff, the water that's running off from the mini pitch, and filter it. There are a bunch of plants that we put in today that are specially designed to filter the water and manage like how fast it runs into the Puget Sound.
Wow.
So we're filtering the water. We put in an outdoor classroom. So this school really lacked green space, lacked places for teachers to come out with their students and learn outside. So we put in this little outdoor classroom where classrooms can learn about nature. And then a bunch of different plantings. We installed what we call a healing garden where the students can work managing their emotions. So social emotional learning is a big focus here in Highline. And we want to help support that. So we have some stumps. We have some benches. We have nice smelling plants. And actually, the students gave us a lot of input. They told us what they wanted. They wanted good plants to touch and to smell that would help them feel calm, like lavender and things like that. And then we also put in an adventure play area, we're calling it, where we have some small logs and rocks that the kids can hop from rock to log, and it's just giving them the opportunity to be in nature, but right here on their school campus.
Yeah, just to be outside and enjoy it, right?
Exactly.
Some way to interact with nature. That's great. One thing that comes to mind when I think of the work that EarthGen does is not only impacting kids, how kids are having an effect on the community, but also how it will change their lives from the skills that they learn through your programs. Can you kind of speak on that topic a little bit?
Yeah, well, that's exactly the point, is that what we're hoping is that these experiences do change them. And what we try to focus on is that they both feel a connection to the environment and understand that the environment is part of us and we are part of the environment. And so that happens from a young age. And then we're also building skills that they need to become the leaders that we need to protect the planet for now and future generations. So that's things like collaborating with each other, critical thinking skills. How do you solve problems? How do you work as a team and communicate so that you can achieve a goal that you set? So a lot of our programs help students learn about their area, learn about the community, learn about its issues, and then decide what they want to do about it and work together to complete projects.
Yeah, no, that's great. I'm just thinking it was kind of the same philosophy I had when I started coaching a little bit. It wasn't giving the actual kids the actual answer, but it was trying to give them the skills to come up with the answer themselves and then just simulate with different situations and different problems and then see how they contributed. But it's the transfer of skills that is huge, even to transfer skills that you're learning in the sport to out of the sport. So in the same vein, transfer the skills you're learning from EarthGen to outside to be able to just be productive.
I loved hearing that from you, because I think as teachers and coaches, that's what it's all about. It's setting the kids up to be their own advocates, to solve their own problems.
Empower them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So can you speak about some of the programs for kids, for teachers, for school districts that you have going on?
Sure. So today we're here as part of a program called Stormwater Stewards. So that's really focused on healthy watersheds. What do we need to do to protect the Puget Sound? How can we as communities make a difference? So putting in these rain gardens is one way that we can take what we learn in the classroom about our local streams and waterways, and then we can do something about it, making sure that we have healthy Puget Sound, healthy salmon, healthy orcas. So that's one of our programs. We have another one that's called Zombie Guacamole, and that's a fun one. And it's an elementary school program where kids learn about waste and whether things decompose or not.
Oh, they got to love that.
They do. Lots, you know, when things are rotting, it's a good time.
Yeah.
And if you can have like worm bins and soil and all that, that's really fun. So that's a popular program across the state. And then we have a big one these days that's focused on climate science and especially climate justice. And okay. With that, we do a lot of teacher training and bring in experts from the University of Washington and other agencies to help teachers learn how to bring issues of climate change and social justice into their classrooms. And we do that with a focus on solutions and action. So between those programs, we have some other things too, but we're spending a lot of time on those. And I guess I'm really encouraged that even during this time of school being from home, and it's been a hard year, but lots of schools are very interested in these kinds of learning opportunities for their kids.
Yeah.
And I think everybody's just seeing how important these issues are. And they know that young people, in fact, are demanding that we take action as a planet. And so teachers feel responsible. They feel like they need to give the kids the chance.
Yeah. The earlier they're exposed, right?
Yeah.
So what is environmental justice and why is it important?
So environmental justice is based on the concept, the truth that everybody deserves access to clean air and clean water, green spaces, healthy food, a healthy environment. And the reality is that some people, particularly people of color in this country and across the globe, are disproportionately impacted. They are receiving more of the pollution. They have less access to healthy food. They have less access to green space. And this is because of systemic racism. And justice is about righting those wrongs, making sure that everyone has access.
Yeah.
And so to do that, our role is to help bring the learning opportunity into schools across the state and also give people the opportunity to take action to work toward justice. So by choosing to focus on communities that are disproportionately impacted, we can provide resources, we can provide, you know, lots of community volunteers in this case, bring in plants, green space, and help tip the scales toward justice. I mean, it's just part of the work that needs to be done,
yes,
obviously. But it feels like an important part, especially since kids are involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we could probably sit here and talk hours about that and just minority-like communities being susceptible to pollution in another way, which is, I feel like, something that's just getting the light shed on it.
That's right. And it's going to take a lot of people caring about this to change it. And, you know, it goes without saying that it's not the people who are most impacted that created this situation.
Yeah.
And it's everybody's responsibility, especially those people in positions of power, to do something about this.
How do the kids across the state get involved with Earth Gen? Is it they have to wait until you come to their school district, or is there another way?
That's a great question. We have programs. One of the programs I should have mentioned earlier, but one of our programs is a school certification program. So schools who want to get involved in environmental action can just sign up to be an Earth Gen school. And that is open to everybody across the state. All of our programs are free and available to schools across the state. But students will sometimes get organized and say, we're tired of looking at this cafeteria waste often, like, or kids will use disposable, you know, single-use plastic bottles, and especially high school students and other kids get frustrated. So they'll say, well, we want to address this problem, so we're going to sign up with Earth Gen. And we have this system that they can go through, these six steps that they can take to set their goal. It's like a structure for action. And then they get recognized as an Earth Gen school. So we have between 50 and 100 schools every year that earn rewards. They get certified because they've taken on an action project like that.
On the kids' own initiative.
On the kids' own initiative.
Wow.
And what's really fun is to get them together, like to get kids from different schools together and have them talk to each other. That's part of what I love about our program, is that it's connecting all these kids from across Washington. They all really care. Sometimes there are only 5 or 10 of them in their school that are meeting every week or whatever. But when you get them together with hundreds of kids and they can see that they're all in it together, it's very powerful for them.
Yeah, and how it may start with a small group trying to create change, but then you can link up and actually make a large difference.
Exactly.
No, thank you. Yeah, it looks like, I mean, a great project and one that will definitely be used. So, and thank you for coming on to the podcast. You said this was your first one, but you're a natural. So yeah, I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks. You too.
I want to thank Meredith Lohr, our last guest, for being on the podcast, coming out, being supportive of Sounders FC and Rave Foundation in this endeavor at Seahurst Elementary. And I want to welcome my next guest, Samuel Perlin from Seattle Scores. How are you doing today?
All right. Thank you very much, Lamar. Doing well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we obviously have a deep history, but can you tell us just a little bit about Seattle Scores?
Yeah, absolutely. America Scores Seattle, and also nicknamed Seattle Scores, or just Scores here in Seattle, inspires youth to lead a life that is an engaged life, where they are able to do the things that they love to do and be a part of this world, make a difference in this world, have the confidence and character to make a difference.
Absolutely. And how exactly are you doing that?
Yeah, so, you know, first of all, my name's Sam Pearl, and I'm the executive director. And I want to thank you, Lamar. You know, it's just amazing to get this opportunity. And I want to say I'm a huge fan of you and your incredible career and everything that you've done for the organization, Seattle Scores. I really appreciate, of course. And thank you for inviting me. I want to also acknowledge that we're sitting on the lands of the Coast Salish people while we're doing this interview. And I thank them for all that they try and do here in the community. My story is that I brought to Seattle to be the athletic director and soccer and basketball coach at Seattle Academy, which is a private independent school in Seattle.
Really?
Where I worked for 10 years and coached. And then I became a executive director of a camp, a sleepaway camp in Olympia. And I put my skills together to now, at the pinnacle of my career, lead this incredible organization that does soccer, poetry, and community service, after-school programming in low-income elementary schools. It was started by a woman named Julie Kennedy in 1994 after the World Cup came to the United States and soccer was very popular, and it was an opportunity to really develop the sport of soccer. You know, soccer in most countries is the most democratic sport in the world, but here in America, it's typically a pay-to-play model.
Yeah.
It also didn't take off. The MLS has taken off, but the NALS, all the different leagues that until the MLS did not take off in America, like baseball and football. And the reason is because soccer needs to grow from the inner city, from a grassroots effort, and have kids that can just play the sport for the sake of the sport, loving the sport and watching the sport and wanting to participate. And that is what started America Scores. It started in D.C. by this public school teacher who wanted to take her kids after school to play soccer to keep them out of trouble, essentially, after school in the D.C. area. And then when it rained, she combined her other passion, which was poetry, and realized that it was just a dynamic combination. And then with the community service element, then the kids started to feel proud of what they were doing and giving back to their community. They found that they improved in their academics and that the kids were just doing better in school and better in life just because of all the benefits that you get from being on a soccer team.
Can you kind of walk us through, like, pick a school and walk us through, like, how America Scores kind of affects that school? So I know the process, but I just want you to explain a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. Thank you. It's like, take for example Dunlap Elementary School in the south end of Seattle that's been doing America Scores for years. Twice a week they do soccer, and twice a week they do poetry in the fall. And the 2 days that they do soccer, one day is a practice day, one day is a game day. And on game day, we transport one school to another school, and they usually play at their school, at the facilities.
Oh, that's great.
At their school. Sometimes the facilities are nice at the school, but most often they're not.
Yeah.
And then when they do poetry, they're at the school, and they're in the classroom, and they're learning the techniques of how to write and how to speak in public and how to express themselves. It's amazing, you know, because these kids come from backgrounds that aren't always great at home. Things that are going on at home is kind of like why it's great that they're after school doing stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot comes out in their poetry. So in the fall, we do a poetry slam, and that's where all the schools get together, and every kid gets a chance to get up on stage and read their poetry, perform their. They actually don't read it. They memorize it, and they perform it. And when you hear them do it, it's amazing. That's when the magic really shines of the nonprofit, when these kids get up and they tell their stories. Some of the things are so heartwarming, and other things that you'll just be amazed at how these young children are living through, in some cases, a battered childhood.
Absolutely. And I think that is exactly what drew me to the organization. Like, I was heavily involved in anything that had to do with after school programs where kids can go and they can be productive, right? And so soccer obviously was an easy connection for me to make. But when I heard these kids perform their poetry on stage, it was this just moment when I was like, I have to be a bigger part of this organization. And that's kind of what led me to being a part of America Scores. And for these kids to have the courage to stand up and actually to speak their feelings, that was something where English was my best subject. And so I really connected with these kids, but I never in 100 years could imagine myself at 10, 11, 12 years old getting up on stage and performing my own piece of poetry.
Our board members are always at the Poetry Slam, and they really are just amazed at what kind of drives them, a lot of them, for their volunteer work and others that have seen that poetry. And the organization, you know, really is dedicated to like non-competitive spirit of soccer too, by the way. So when the kids are out there on the field, you know, we're trying not to keep score, and we're really emphasizing sportsmanship. Afterwards, we do team cheers, and we give out different things for leadership and sportsmanship. Right now, with the social justice issues that's creeping up in our world, it's really an awesome opportunity to, you know, for these kids to have an avenue to speak their mind about youth justice as well.
Oh, absolutely. I can imagine in these poetry slams that some stuff is coming out. That's an awesome opportunity for them to just express themselves and really kind of go through those emotions, right?
Yeah.
So as you branch out into different schools, what does that look like? Because I know you mentioned that you're the only employee, but it's not you going to every school teaching soccer and poetry to these kids.
Yeah.
You're a busy man.
We're in the Seattle Public Schools, and our teachers and our coaches are Seattle Public School teachers, and they
awesome.
Have a lot of heart. They are amazing people. They're incredible the way that they inspire the kids. It's great that they know the kids on a daily basis. Typically, they're in the school that and then when you're, you know, when you coach and you're in the school with those kids during the school day, then out on the field, you know, a lot comes up on the soccer field that doesn't come up during the school day. Our coaches experience and teach so much of what is not normally taught during the normal classroom curricula, the things that kids need to know about life, and they're taught there during scores. The things, you know, like you've played on a lot of teams, and you know, you've probably had some great coaches that really have helped you develop your leadership skills and help you realize, you know, that, you know, how you work together with others. And
absolutely. And this actual exact topic came up in the last conversation I had, was the effect that coaches or mentors or just people that are being positive in the community can have on kids. And even in the sport of soccer, how we can teach life skills through the sport and have them transfer into other areas of life so kids can be productive.
That's right. And these are the kids that don't always just get that stuff automatically because their parents aren't paying for them to go to a private independent school here in Seattle. These are the kids that oftentimes get overlooked because they live in poor neighborhoods and they don't go to these rich public private schools, and they can't pay to play soccer.
Yeah.
And there's talent there. There's some talent in these small schools that are perhaps some of the best soccer talent that we have in the city, but they go unnoticed because they're not there with the where the coaches see them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you were mentioning how soccer needs that grassroots kind of development in the U.S. so that kids can kind of play anywhere. And this is one of those programs that's helping that happen, because then from there it can spread. How many schools are you in currently?
We're currently in 6 schools. And at our heyday in 2016, we were in 18 schools, and my plan is to be back in 18 schools in a couple of years, and that's why they hired me. And I've been on the job now for 2 years, although my predecessor, Carol Kelly, did an excellent job.
Yeah.
It's not easy to grow, and there's always challenges. But like I said, I feel really positive about the opportunity that's in front of us. And we'll be in more schools, and we'll do that by simply just raising more money.
Yeah.
That's how, because I know that a lot more schools would do the program if we were able to provide it for them. And so there's some great stuff on the horizon. It was a tough year with COVID. We didn't do any programming except for the fact that we made Scores at Home kits for every 3rd, 4th, and 5th grader in all of our 6 schools. So that was over 1,600 kids got a soccer ball, a water bottle, and a writing pad, pencils, and sharpeners, like the whole, all a kit to write, and then also like a United Way box to give charity. So okay. At least we tried, but we'll be back in the fall and we'll hit the ground running. And we're really fortunate that we have a lot of people behind us supporting us, like the Rave Foundation that supports us. We're going to try and get together with them on an initiative. A big way we raise money is that we have our annual auction and gala. But another way is that we have the Scores Cup. The Scores Cup is a corporate soccer tournament where corporations have a team and they play against another team. And we have an annual tournament in the summertime. We can't have it this year because of COVID. But yeah. When we couple together with the Rave Foundation, we'll be able to maybe impact more of the city and have even more schools and more teams, more corporations take part and be able to give to Scores. And it's just a great way that these corporations can build team leadership and also camaraderie in their organizations, you know, like Microsoft, Starbucks, Boeing, they've had teams in the Scores Cup before.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of possibility to raise money. And we can also spread out to many more neighborhoods than where we really are, because we're in the South End and that's pretty limited. But there's plenty of plans in the future for Scores, like having a summer camp and impacting more kids. We'll do that, of course, through the foundations that have been historically supporting us, like the Medina Foundation and the Northrop Foundation and the Charlotte Webb Foundation. Lots yeah. of the community members have been seeing how we make an impact, and they really want to help, especially since we're making an impact on the kids that really need to have some help. Currently, we are starting, by the way, a junior board. One of the things that's exciting is, for me, is working with the board of trustees, these dedicated people. And, of course, we're always looking for board members, people who are really interested in this project and would like to help in a financial way and other ways. But the junior board is an exciting new development where young people can get involved with America Scores. If you've, you know, by chance listened to some of the things I've been saying here today and that piques your interest because it sounds like an organization you really want to help out, the junior board is a great way for young people to try and further the mission of America Scores Seattle and help make an impact here in Seattle. If you love soccer, if you love writing, if you love poetry, if you love service, it's a great organization to become part of. We have a junior board and a regular board.
So who is the junior board currently made up of? Like,
this is a brand new initiative.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's going to be made up of high school age kids that maybe there's kids that have been involved in the soccer world that know what the sport of soccer has done for them.
Yeah.
You know, kids like you that grew up in Tacoma, you know, that understand how the sport of soccer can be a vehicle for them to a path for their career, whatever it might be. You know, you never know where it takes you.
Yeah.
But it's a way out and it's a way up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So if I was a high school kid and I was interested, where would I go? Would I just go to?
You could contact me at America Scores Seattle from our website. Also, you could call me 206-988-1000.
Okay.
206-988-1000.
All right.
You know, it's just such a pleasure to have this opportunity to just, you know, get the word out about the fact that there's an organization here that really wants to see the youth in this world find their voice, achieve their goals, and unleash their full potential.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
I want to thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. I love the program. I love that you're trying to grow it and keep it alive here in Seattle. So I appreciate you, and I'm definitely going to be working with you in the future.
All right. Thanks for all your support.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Lamar.
Thanks. So that wraps it up for the first edition of Side by Side Community Spotlight. I want to thank the guests, Samuel Perlin again and Meredith Lohr, for joining me in this first episode. I'm excited to bring this podcast multiple times throughout the year and bring you guys new insight into organizations and people doing good in the community. So We'll see you next time.